Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call our meeting to order tonight for the Oro Valley Town Council regular session, October 20th, 2021. Mr. Standish, roll call.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Bowen.
Here.
Councilmember Green.
Here.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy. Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Here. Mr. Standish will excuse me. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Standish will announce upcoming meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The October 21st Stormwater Utility Commission meeting has been canceled. The October 26th Board of Adjustment meeting has also been canceled. And then the Planning and Zoning Commission will hold their next meeting on November 2nd at 6 p.m. here in the council chambers. And then currently, the Town Council will be meeting on November 3rd at 6 p.m. right here in the Council Chambers. But please note that there is an action item on tonight's agenda for a possible cancellation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. We'll now have Council reports. And this evening, Councilmember Solomon will recognize Austin Collins, a senior at Basis Oro Valley. Councilmember Solomon.
You and your mom can come up here if you'd like. I was really pleased to see the name of tonight's spotlight on youth. Austin, he doesn't remember, but his baby pictures on our computers is a screensaver. His dad and I worked together years ago when he was born, and his dad being one of our IT specialist at the time, along with other duties, went ahead and put the newborn baby's picture up on our screen servers, and he was a great kid. He really was. Some of the things here that he's noted for, we saw at a very early age. Just a real happy child. He's just driven, dedicated, always pleasant and nice. Who'd have ever thought that close to 18 years later, he'd be the top student at Basis, probably heading off to Yale. He certainly takes after his mother, not his father. So that's good. So Austin goes above and beyond the average student, and that's what we're here to celebrate tonight, his dedication to his academics, his athletics, volunteering, and many different clubs and extracurricular activities. And Austin was always somewhat on the large size, and I see he still is, but it was a pleasure watching him grow up. He understands the importance of civic engagement, which is evident in his clubs and activities he dedicates his time to. And I have to say, that's something that I think he got from his parents, his mother, who's an attorney, and his father, who is an engineer. And both were always very interested in their community and what was going on. In addition to being part of our Youth Advisory Council, he's also the ambassador of My School's Votes, is the current vice president of the Basis Model United Nations, the co-founder of the Student Voice podcast, and a member of the iCivics team. And surprisingly enough, he's interested in studying political science. So, go figure. The Basis Director of Student Affairs wrote, "Austin is the best kid ever." And I can attest to that from when he was a little guy, he was. I haven't really had an enormous amount of contact lately, but apparently he still is the best little kid ever. He's passionate, driven, and he's done so many other things beyond what we've mentioned tonight. He's a kind, happy human who is always willing to lend a hand or do what is needed to put a smile on your face. And it is clear that he's an exceptional young man. And it's really a pleasure to see how our youth, and he's an Oro Valley born, bred and born, raised child, how they've gone through the school system, grew up in our community, graduating from BASES at the top of the class, which, of course, as everyone knows, BASES is still one of the top three schools in the country. So it's pretty phenomenal to watch somebody growing up in our community like this. So we're so proud to recognize you as our Spotlight on Youth and can't wait to see what else you do. So congratulations.
Other council reports this evening? Councilmember Bowen.
Thank you, Mayor. I've had the good experience of attending three business openings since the last council meeting, and there are some really interesting things that I learned. First off, at Wow Wow Lemonade, the owner is a working software engineer, kind of like me, and he's planning for his retirement, and he's being very, very proactive. So the entrepreneurs that come to our town, they come in all shapes and sizes. The other two businesses are MedEquip and Treadlock. And some interesting things that, you know, these all have in common. First off, with MedEquip and Wow Wow Lemonade, these are businesses that have multiple locations, but the first location in the Tucson area is in Oro Valley. Now, we're only 50,000 people out of a million. I think that says a lot about the viability of businesses here. Secondly, they both used existing storefronts, which had been empty for a while. And finally, these are brand new offerings, all three businesses. Now, Treadlock's interesting because it's run out of a van. It doesn't have a storefront location. But these are three new businesses, three new offerings, so there is hope through COVID. People are coming to Oro Valley, and we are able to be worked with in opening up a new business. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Other reports? I would like to, a little over 6 months ago, our town magistrate retired, and this council went through the process of hiring a new magistrate. That selection led us to Chief James Hazel, and recently Judge Hazel submitted a report outlining accomplishments that the magistrate office has completed within the past 6 months, and it really represents a substantial contribution by Judge Hazel and his staff in serving our community. Judge Hazel has certainly kept his word to manage the magistrate office with integrity, fairness, and with ferocious energy. So we're grateful to Judge Hazel and to his staff. Thank you. I believe there's no additional council reports, so we'll go to Ms. Jacobs. We'll present her report this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. First of all, Austin, congratulations on your recognition. And I do want to tell you that a political science degree actually does sometimes pay off. So if you're interested in city management, come see me sometime and I'll tell you all about it. It's a great career. I'm always doing that. So I wanted to mention that this week is Arizona Cities and Towns Week across the state. And this is a time that has been initiated by the Arizona League of Cities and Towns that is set aside to provide our citizens really with important information about their local government, about the services that are provided, about the employees that deliver those services. And the town is happy to not only join in the effort with a variety of different social media posts, but it ties in nicely with our This is Oro Valley podcast, which has now been going on for about a year and is another way to let our residents know what's going on. So we're continually introducing them to different people on our team. So I just want to recognize the entire Oro Valley team for all that you do, department directors and our police officers, our inspectors, our front desk customer service representatives, everyone who serves, including our town council. Without you, without this team, we would not have the great community that we have here in Oro Valley. And speaking of the podcast, I do invite residents to tune in to this month's podcast, which features a conversation that I have with two of our wonderful school resource officers. And last week, I recorded our next podcast, which I'm very excited about, and that features the executive director of the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, Kate Marquez, and Ashley White, who is the artist who recently completed the mural at JDK Park. So I invite you to tune in when it comes up in another week or two to the Mary, Kate, and Ashley show. And I think you'll learn a lot. And then also plan on Monday attending the ribbon cutting for the mural at JDK Park at 4 p.m. And that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. The agenda will remain as posted. We'll go to presentations. I have no blue cards for call to audience. Mr. Standish, item one of presentations.
Proclamation, Family Court Awareness Month.
Thank you. I will read the following proclamation. Family Court Awareness Month, November 2021. Whereas the mission at One Mom's Battle and the Family Court Awareness Month Committee is to increase awareness on the importance of a family court system that prioritizes child safety and acts in the best interest of children. And the mission at the FCAMC is to increase awareness on the importance of education and training on domestic violence, childhood trauma, and post-separation abuse for all professionals working within the community court system. And the mission at FCAMC is to educate judges and other family court professionals on the empirical data and research that is currently available. Such research is a critical component to make decisions that are truly in the best interest of children. This research includes the Adverse Childhood Experiences study, the Saunders study, the Meyer study, child custody outcomes in cases involving abuse allegations, and the Santa Clara Law study. And whereas the mission at the FCAMC is fueled by the desire for awareness and change in the family court system. Now, therefore, I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of the Town of Oro Valley, hereby proclaim November 2021 Family Court Awareness Month. And I'd like to invite Amy McCormick, who's a representative for Family Court Awareness Month, to accept the proclamation if she's here this evening. So Amy must not be with us, so we'll move on to item two. Thank
you. Proclamation, Down Syndrome Awareness Month.
So it's a real pleasure this evening to present this proclamation, Down Syndrome Awareness Month, October 2021. Whereas approximately one in every 700 children are born with Down syndrome, representing an estimated 6,000 births in the United States. And there are over 400,000 individuals living with Down syndrome in the United States. And possessing a wide range of abilities, people with Down syndrome are active participants in educational, occupational, social, and recreational circles of our communities. And, quote, I Can Too, close quote, was established by the Oro Valley Parks and Recreation Department in 2016 so that the youth with special needs, to include Down syndrome, have the opportunity to participate in parks and recreation programs alongside their non-disabled peers. And whereas individuals with Down syndrome should have equal opportunity to achieve the universally desired goals of self-fulfillment, pride in their achievements, inclusion in their community, and reaching their fullest potential. Now, therefore, I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim October 2021 as Down Syndrome Awareness Month in the town of Oro Valley and encourage our citizens to work together to promote respect and inclusion of individuals with Down syndrome and to celebrate their accomplishments, talents, and contributions. And this evening, I'd like to invite Christine and Greg Da Silva to come up and to accept the proclamation. We appreciate so much you coming and joining us this evening. It's really a treat for me to welcome you.
Thank you.
And to thank you for participating. And my name is Joe. And tell me your name.
Gregory.
Bradley?
It's Gregory.
Gregory. All right. Well, Gregory.
Little G.
Little G.
Little G. Gregory, it's wonderful to meet you. And I'd like to present your family with this proclamation. Would you like to hold that? And would you like to say, make any comments this evening?
No, I think this is what this community stands for, the diversity, the respect, the inclusion. Thank you for Christy, who we've known for many years. I think since she got here, Gregory had a great time at the camp. There were a number of outstanding people. We'd really like to thank Nicole Malonis for her outstanding attitude. Gregory looked forward to it every day. We think what Jennifer Fuchs has been doing for years and what she stands for and is a longtime friend. Gregory is the first student at Copper Creek to be fully included, and so Copper Creek really represents this community, and we are proud of it, and we're vital members of the Oro Valley community, and we're very proud of this proclamation, and we just keep hoping each generation gets better and more inclusive, and I know this community is better than I was when I was in elementary school, and I'm very proud of the inclusion, and we're making every year better for society.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Mr. Standish, presentation 3.
Proclamation, National Arts and Humanities Month.
Again, it's my pleasure to present this proclamation this evening for the National Arts and Humanities Month, October 2021. Whereas the coronavirus has had a devastating impact on America's arts sector, with 99% of producing and presenting organizations having canceled events and artists being among the most severely affected segment of the nation's workforce. Yet notwithstanding this fact, the arts have helped collectively lead us throughout the darkest times of the pandemic, lifting our spirits, unifying communities, and jump-starting the economy. And the arts and humanities embody much of the accumulated wisdom, intellect, and imagination of humankind. And the arts and humanities enhance and enrich the lives of every American and play a unique role in the lives of our families, our communities, and our country. And the nonprofit arts industry alone generates $166 billion in economic activity, annually spending by organizations and their audiences, which supports 4.6 million jobs and generates almost $28 billion in government revenue. And whereas every attendee to an arts event spends $31.47 per person per event beyond the cost of admission on items such as meals, parking, and lodging, a vital income source for local businesses. Now, therefore, I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim October as National Arts and Humanities Month in Oro Valley and call upon our community members to celebrate and promote the arts and culture in our nation and to specifically encourage the greater participation by those said community members in taking action for the arts and humanities in their towns and cities. This evening, accepting this proclamation is Ms. Van Alsberg, from the Children's Museum. She's the Oro Valley Executive Director. Hillary? Thank you, Michelle. Hillary, it's my pleasure to present you with this proclamation. And I think we can take our mask off for a moment and get a photo. And I would welcome any comments that you may have.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. It's actually such an honor to be able to receive this nomination and hear this proclamation on behalf of all of the arts. The Children's Museum Oro Valley is really a very beginning step for the arts, for our community. But arts touch all of us in every single way. So it's wonderful to hear, listening to Mary, what you had said about SACA and all of what they do and the murals. And if you really think about what we missed during COVID especially, it was the arts. It is a very vital part of what we all makes us richer and better citizens in our life and in our families. So it's really wonderful to be part of seeing that recognized. Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary. Truth be known, I really needed to get my steps in tonight, so that's helping. The fourth item, Mr. Standish.
Presentation and update by Children's Museum of Oro Valley Executive Director Hillary Van Alsberg.
Wonderful. So Ms. Van Alsberg will be making a presentation to council.
Great. I'm glad to see we've got this up on the screen. We just wanted to say thank you and give you an update on what's been going on with the Children's Museum Oro Valley in the last year especially. We closed in March of 2020. We were closed for an entire year. And when we reopened fully expecting to welcome families back and hoping that in an organization where please come in and touch everything, people would feel comfortable, you know, safely coming back. We worked very hard with the Pima County Ready for You program to make sure that we were doing things in a slow and careful and very safe, healthy way, and we feel like we've accomplished that very well. Since we've reopened, we reopened on May 25th, and we're open Tuesday through Sunday, and families are back. They're back in full force. I know several of you have been able to come to the museum and see what's going on there and how we've used the time when we were closed to still make sure that we were able to reach families. And while with no PBS, our virtual programming was something we had never done or ever tried before, and really being able to roll out programs that could reach families who were social distancing and learning from home, it was a huge success. We had such great response to it. And while some of it was a little campy, because we don't have production studios and we're doing a lot of it on GoPros and doing it from our phone and doing it, you know, kind of on the fly, It's been so well received. We're focusing on the arts, we're focusing on wellness, and we're focusing on really making sure kids know the world is very odd right now. It's really hard when you're a little guy, when you've spent half your life in a mask, or you're you know, at home and not socializing at school the way we all want our kids to be able to do. So being able to touch with kids with science and arts and wellness activities has been really important and something that we'll continue to do. We're back open with birthday parties. People are coming. And I think just some of the upgrades that we were able to do during the time that we were closed have really been well received as well. We've got new water, big table outside, and a lot of things that have been done inside to really make sure that when kids can come back, when they're ready to come back, we're ready for them. I think I'm ready for the next one. Two programs that we really wanted to highlight are our accessibility programs. The first and third Tuesdays, of course, has been long sponsored by the town, and we very much appreciate that. Also with First Things First support, we've been able to expand that and or bring that back. And when you come and see how many people come on those particular days, it's just our busiest day. I mean, without a doubt, even busier than weekends. Making it accessible, making it financially affordable for families, they know it and they use it and they appreciate it. So thank you for making that possible. The other program that is very important to us that we've very, very much grown is the My Time Inclusion Program. And that has grown from once a month to every single weekday. And that is a program that's offered at half price, and that also is very, very popular. And again, it's part of the accessibility. We want all kids to feel welcome at the Children's Museum. And here's some of the examples of our upgrades that we've done in the past year. We've got a water table that is all about, you know, getting messy and getting out there and doing stuff, and really helps kids be interactive and improve their gross motor skills. And then our ball wall is actually very hard. When you play on the ball wall, it's one of those things that you think, who can do this? But the kids get right in there and they help each other, and it's fabulous. These are just a couple of things in the courtyard. And then just one of the highlights that we wanted to touch on, I think this is our last thing, was just some of the things that we're getting back out. We're happy to see things happening in the community again and in-person events. And so we had a great time at the Monster Mash at Steam Pump Ranch recently, and we're looking forward to the OVPD National Night Out event coming up. We're happy to be part of that. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for your ongoing support. It means a lot, not just to the museum, but the families who we serve. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to open it up to the council if they may have questions for you, Hillary. Okay. Councilmember Bowen?
I think I went on one of the free Tuesdays. I was really shocked. You said only 10% are there?
Yeah, that's 10% of our days.
Must be something else on Wednesday and Thursday then.
Yeah, it's pretty fabulous. It is. And when you were there, we actually just stood there and let all the activity come all around us. We didn't even give him a chair. It was just too much going on. So many kids and so many families. So thank you. I appreciate you being there.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Thank you. You probably know that I am a big supporter of the Children's Museum Oro Valley. I've been a member for many years. I haven't been back since the pandemic, but I need to definitely come back. But thank you for all that you're doing in welcoming our children back. I think that's so important that they learn to have opportunities to interact again, especially like you said, when they've spent half of their lives unable to interact with one another. So thank you for what you're doing for our community and for providing that for our children. We really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary. We really appreciate your presentation and all the work that you and your staff do for the children of our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Mr. Standish, presentation 5.
Fiscal year 21-22, financial update through August 2021.
Thank you. Our Finance and Budget Administrator, Wendy Gomez, will present this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, for the opportunity to present the financials through August for you this evening. We are presenting the funds we typically do, which is our general fund, our highway fund, and our community center fund. So jumping right in, we'll start with the revenues for the general fund. Have things looking positive through August. Categories are trending as expected. We'll just kind of walk through some of the major sources. You can see there the sales tax first. Actuals are just under $3 million through August, or about 14% of budget. We are still assuming budget for those figures. We are trending as expected. We're seeing continued growth in retail, online collections, and seeing some strong recovery in categories that were impacted by COVID last year. So our bed tax, restaurant and bars, those have really jumped up when you compare it to last fiscal year. Our state shared revenues are at just over 15% of the budget, or $2.1 million through August. Those are trending as expected. Our charges for services, we're seeing some improvement in that category. That was another area that was impacted by COVID last fiscal year, and so we're seeing some improvement in some of our recreation user fees and that sort of thing. Those are still trending as expected and should land on budget about $2.4 million at the end of the year. Our licenses and permits, things looking positive there as well. We're at just over 17% of the budget through August. We are at 50 single-family residential permits issued through August, and our budget is 275 for the fiscal year. Moving on to grant revenue, that is our sole budget variance that we're showing through August for the revenues in the general fund, and that overage that you see there are some additional American Rescue Plan Act funds that we know we are going to receive. So initial estimates that we received from the League brought Oro Valley in at about $11 million or so in ARPA funds, and those are going to come in more about $15.4 million. So that's a known additional funding that we've factored into the year-end estimate. And then finally, the all-other category, that includes our intergovernmental revenues, things such as the transit revenues from the RTA for our IGA with them, transfers, any transfers from other funds, interest income, and then some smaller miscellaneous categories. And we do expect those to all come in on budget still at the end of the fiscal year. So really wrapping up for the general fund revenues, the only budget variance we're noting right now are those additional ARPA funds of about $2.2 million that I mentioned. Moving on to the expenditures for the general fund, things trending as expected there in all of our categories. Our personnel expenditures are at about $3.3 million through August, or 10.6% of budget. That seems a little low when you're looking at just a straight line comparison, but those actuals reflect the timing of our payrolls. So typically in July, there's a payroll that's accrued back to the previous fiscal year. So that explains that. We are still expecting to come in on budget at year end for personnel in the general fund. Our O&M, we are at just under 52% of budget, or $11.4 million through August, and I know that looks like a huge number, but we need to keep in mind that we have paid the $10 million PSPRS payment out of our reserves already through August. That's been processed and reflected in the actuals there. Capital, not a whole lot going on yet, just 2 months into the fiscal year. We are still assuming budget in that category. That budget amount includes westward look improvements, as well as needs for IT and some parks and recreation facility improvements. Finally, transfers out. That includes our transfers for debt service payment, as well as transfers to the capital fund for capital improvements. We've made through August a transfer to our debt service fund. So that is what you see reflected there, the $792,000 payment through August. For the general fund on the expenditure side, no budget variance expected at this time. We're still assuming budget for fiscal year end. The chart for the general fund, comparing to last fiscal year, you see at first blush what might be some kind of scary variations, but really the difference there is compared to the revenues. Last fiscal year, you may recall we had the CARES funding that had come in. I think that was about $5.3 million last fiscal year, and so that's really driving that variance that you see there with the revenues. On the expenditure side, you can see obviously that $10 million PSPRS payment there, and so if you backed that out, just a smidge over budget compared to just a smidge over actuals compared to last fiscal year. Off to the side there on the right, we've noted that we have a planned use of fund balance of about $14.2 million. That's now estimated at about $12 million, and that's just due to those additional ARPA funds that we're going to be receiving. We are estimating to end our fund balance at just under $24 million. That equates to 44% of our budgeted expenditures, and that exceeds Council's 25% policy by just over $3 million. Moving on to the Highway Fund, revenues, not a whole lot to report there. Things trending as expected. License and permit revenues, as well as our state-shared HERF revenues through August, are looking healthy and still expecting to land on budget in those two categories. And then all other, some smaller revenues, such as interest income and insurance recoveries, and we're expecting a very slight overage there due to some additional insurance recoveries. In total for the Highway Fund, revenues are just over 17% compared to budget, and again, just that slight overage for the insurance recoveries, but other than that, trending as expected and on budget. On the expenditure side, you're going to see some of the same trends with personnel as you see with the general fund. Again, that's timing of payrolls there. Actual is about $133,000 or 11% of budget, still expecting to end the in the fiscal year on budget. Operations and maintenance, we've spent just over $40,000 through August compared to the budget amount of $617,000. That's trending as expected. Some of the larger line items in that area, just for reference, include such things as striping costs, some of our field supplies, electricity costs are a considerable component of that, as well as maintenance for our traffic signals. Capital, the bulk of that is our payment preservation program. So again, those actuals reflect the timing of the program, both the fall and spring treatments. I would expect as we get further into the fiscal year that we'll start to see some of those actuals hit. But right now, we're just at about 7% of budget spent for capital. In total for the Highway Fund, expenditures are at about 8% through August, and we aren't projecting any budget variance at this time. So still expecting to land on budget for the expenditures. Here's a chart for the Highway Fund. Not a whole lot to report there. Things pretty flat compared to last fiscal year on both the revenues and the expenditures, just a smidge higher compared to last fiscal year. Off to the right there, as we noted with the general fund, for the Highway Fund, we are again planning to use a fund balance of about $400,000. And we that would bring us to an estimated ending fund balance of about $800,000 in the Highway Fund. Moving on to the Community Center Fund, revenues, things looking very positive there. Our contracted operating revenues are at about $505,000 through August of the fiscal year, or about 14% of budget. We're still expecting to come in on budget in that category. Our town operating revenues, as you may recall, through August of last fiscal year, the facility was closed. And wow, we've really seen a rebound of those recreation program revenues based on the camp attendance that we saw. I know Christy's here, and she can speak more to the camps, but I want to say we had full attendance at all of those camps. So I work out over there sometimes, and there were kids everywhere. So anyway, based on the actuals that we're seeing through August, we actually are already projecting an overage in those revenues. We were pretty conservative there, so about a $50,000 budget variance to the positive for that category. And then our other revenues includes our half-cent sales tax, obviously, the two contributions from the HOAs, as well as our interest income and some smaller miscellaneous revenues. For actuals through August, in total for the revenues, we're at about $1.2, $1.3 million, or 17% of budget. So right on track with where we should be. And again, just the only budget variance we're noting at this time for the revenues is on the recreation program side. For the expenditures in the Community Center Fund, contracted operating expenditures are at about 14.3% of budget, or $671,000 through August. Those are trending as expected, should still land on budget in that category. The town operating revenues, also trending as expected, were at just over 16% of the budget, or $175,000, $176,000 through August. Capital, no projects seeing spending through August, but that'll certainly ramp up as we get further along in the fiscal year. The transfers out reflect transfer to debt service, and you can see that reflected in the actuals there, a portion of the debt service posted through August. In total for the Community Center Fund on the expenditure side, no variance projected at this time. Everything is really trending as expected, and nothing to note at this point in time. Here's the chart for the Community Center Fund. Revenues at $1.3 million compared to about $900,000 last fiscal year. So that's a slight improvement in golf contracted operating revenues, but primarily on the fitness side with those recreation programs and the facility being open. And then expenditures, you can see, are about flat compared to last fiscal year. We have a planned use of fund balance in the community center fund of about $400,000. Right now, the estimated use is down a smidge, down to $300,000, and that's just due to those additional recreation revenues. That's going to bring us to an estimated ending fund balance in the community center fund of about $2.3 million at the end of this fiscal year. And that concludes my presentation, and we'll take any questions you may have. Thank you.
All right. Questions from council? Councilmember Bowen?
Thank you. Wendy, could you bring up Schedule E? Would that be possible? Attachment E. Pardon me. I'm thinking taxes. Pardon
I don't know if I have the potential to bring it up, but if there's the ability to pull the agenda from... I'm sorry. I actually do not know how to do that with the new technology in the room yet. I don't know if I'd be able to log in here, but I can try to answer any questions that you may have about the attachment. That is the... Let me pull that one up real quick. That is the general fund local sales tax.
The totals for July and August, or through August totals, are approximately $3.8 million, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
In a presentation slide that was shown before, we showed approximately $2.9 million. Can you explain to us how those figures can be different and, you know, what's cash versus accrual and why we might not see those lining up?
Mm-hmm. Sure, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, that's due entirely to timing differences. So we receive those payouts from the state on, I think, a weekly basis. And because we are reconciling our bank accounts and our local government investment pool accounts on a monthly basis, those payments are posting when we receive the payment. And so I know for a fact that in the month of September, we had a large tax payment of about $800,000. When the cash came in, that belonged for the to the month of August. So that's the reason for that discrepancy there. At the end of the year, we will have some tax revenues that come in, you know, in July of next fiscal year, and those will actually be accrued back to the current year. And so we're always looking at some of that timing difference throughout the fiscal year, and then it gets shored up and accrued and reconciled by the end of the fiscal year.
So, Wendy, does the $3.8 million shown here on Attachment E, does that reflect actual income to the town eventually?
Yes, those reflect income from the Arizona Department of Revenue, yes.
Just a brief comment on this. Why do I focus in so much on this one number? For a number of reasons. First off, as council members, this is the number I think we can impact most by our policy decisions. And the difference between $3.8 million and $2.9 million is actually very significant in this case. $3.8 million means $23 million at the end of the year. $2.9 million means $18 million. Now you say only $5 million difference. $18 million is less than we collected in 2017. $23 million is 10% more than last year. I wanted to point out to the residents and to my fellow council members, we have a very strong early trend on sales tax revenues. And if you go back and look at the historical data through the last 5 years, and you take the average of the first 2 months and multiply it by 12, it's a pretty good proxy for where we're going to end up at the end of the year. So I just wanted to make public that the sales tax numbers are looking very positive. Of course, we won't know until June 30th of next year, but that's the possibility of really closing up several million dollars in the deficit that we're showing as of today. And thank you, Wendy, for answering those questions.
You're welcome.
Mr. Mayor.
Other questions? Vice Mayor Barrett?
Thank you for your presentation, Ms. Gomez. My question is about the Community Center Fund. In our attachment on the Community Center Fund, where it gives us the profit and loss statement from our golf contracted operator, it does say that we're ahead of budget by $155,796. And then in your presentation, you indicated that we were just kind of right on budget in terms of the community center and the golf revenues. So I was just wondering kind of how that played into it in terms of that profit and loss statement, and mm-hmm. if you could just explain a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett. Things are looking positive for them. Obviously, when you look at C2, it's wow compared to their budget, and even compared to last fiscal year, in a great position. Quite frankly, this early in the fiscal year, we don't really make a whole lot of year-end estimate revisions quite yet. I think I'd probably prefer to get a little more activity under our belts, and I would think the contractor would probably agree. But if we continue to see some of these positive trends, definitely we'll be getting those year-end estimates updated. But so far, things look very positive.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if we were talking about only the year-end estimates being still on schedule or if we were saying up until now we're on budget. So you were talking about kind of the year-end estimates.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. And I would agree with you that we need a little more time to make that, but it is good to see those positive numbers coming through. Thanks, Ms. Gomez.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Other questions? Ms. Gomez, in regards to attachment C2, that's a new format, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. So when we brought on our new contractor last fiscal year, we wanted to try to retain some comparison with our previous contractor. And so we, last fiscal year, we were using kind of a similar attachment to what our previous contractor had and trying to kind of retain some of that comparison. Quite frankly, it did involve some manual calculations. Now that we've got a year under our belts with our new contractor and their profit and loss statement provides a year-over-year comparison and also a comparison to budget, it just made sense to go with this format from now on. I think it also provides a lot of clarity. Again, that year-over-year comparison is just right there on one page. Easy to see.
Yeah, I definitely like the new format, and I appreciate the fact of being able to make those comparisons and to build on to the conversation that you were having earlier. There are some very positive data here in terms of total revenue. We're over or above what we were a year ago by a significant amount, and then also on the total expenses were below what we were a year ago. So all of that is very positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I don't believe there's any other questions, so thank you for your presentation and responding to questions. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
We'll go to the consent agenda, and I'd like to pull item B from the consent agenda. So I move to approve item A of the consent agenda.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Nay. The motion passes 6-0. So item B, approval to cancel the November 3rd, 2021 regular town council meeting. The reason I pulled this is that when the agenda committee met 2 weeks ago, it looked like there was a relatively light in terms of items for this November 3rd meeting. So the agenda committee made the recommendation to cancel November 3rd. But subsequently, between that time and now, there have been a number of items that have emerged that would, I believe, that would be important to not cancel this meeting on the 3rd. And I would move that we vote this particular motion down, approval to cancel.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, Councilmember Solomon. So noted. Any other comments or yes. Councilmember Bowen?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. When I had heard that we were possibly canceling this meeting, did a little homework, and I wanted to point out some of the items that I think are in the queue and would be good candidates for next week, but I'm not on the agenda committee. Among those items include the vice mayor's request about a month and a half ago for a CAP presentation.
Okay. Point of order.
This is not an agenda meeting. We're simply voting whether or not the poll convening on November 3rd.
Okay. I'd like to get input from our town attorney in that regard.
This is about whether or not to approve or cancel the November 3rd meeting. It really isn't agendized to discuss what might be on the agenda of that particular meeting. So I would say it's a little far afield, Mr. Mayor, and you know, it's your meeting, and you're certainly welcome to rein it in a little bit if you feel it's appropriate.
Councilmember Bowen, can you just provide an abbreviated?
Well, first off, I mentioned in my comments, I don't know of all the items because I'm not on the agenda committee, so I believe the previous comment is not necessarily accurate. I had five items that I wish to mention, and why do I wish to mention them? Because I note that last meeting, we didn't have a regular agenda item. Tonight, we don't have a regular agenda item, and the possibility of a third consecutive meeting without a regular agenda item.
Mr. Mayor, Town Council, I think we are now moving far afield of what this item is agendized for. We certainly still have on this future agenda items, and there is a procedure for getting agenda items on to the agenda.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mr. Mayor, I believe the request was there any discussion?
There was. So the discussion about whether to have the meeting or not have the meeting. And so I'm recommending that we vote this down so that we can hold the meeting on November 3rd.
I would move that we call a question, Mr. Mayor.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Mr. Mayor, if we're all in agreement that we can have the meeting, we may even be able to just remove the item from the agenda if we're all in agreement that we have the November meeting without even having a vote on it. We may be able to just agree to remove that from the agenda and go ahead and hold the November meeting.
Mr. Mayor, there are two real procedural options here. You can either hold a vote on tabling it, or you can have a vote on canceling the meeting. They both, an approved table, has the effect of having the meeting go forward. A vote to cancel or vote down this item would also have the effect of having the meeting move forward.
Okay. So the motion is to vote. Well, the motion was to approve to cancel the November 3rd, 2021 regular town council meeting. I'm suggesting to vote this down, so to vote nay, so that we can hold this meeting on the 3rd. So it's been seconded. Question has been called. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Mr. Mayor.
No. Vice Mayor Barrett.
Sorry. Can we clarify what the motion is we're voting on? Because I understood you made a motion that we should hold the meeting. Because no one ever made a motion to cancel the meeting.
Okay. Mr.
Mayor, here what I would recommend is that you restate the motion and recall the vote.
Okay. I'm going to restate the motion. The motion is, as here, approval to cancel the November 3rd, 2021 regular town council meeting. So that's the motion. It was seconded by Councilmember Green, and I'll now take the vote. So,
and Mr. Mayor, maybe just to clarify, if I may, a vote nay here would have the effect of the meeting going forward.
Right.
A vote yay would have the effect of canceling the meeting.
That's correct. Thank you for that clarification. So a vote yay is meaning to cancel the meeting. A vote nay would be to approve the meeting for November 3rd. Vice Mayor Barrett.
Sorry, I'm just a little confused. Let me just clarify. So you're making a motion to hold the meeting, And then that's being seconded by Councilmember Green. And then we're going to vote nay on the motion to hold the meeting. Is that what we're doing?
So what's on the agenda is approval to cancel the November 3rd, 2021 regular town council meeting.
So
I made that motion. So to vote in favor of this would cancel the meeting. To vote against it would mean that we would have the meeting on November 3rd. I know it's a little confusing. My apologies.
Nay is a yes. 3 hours later.
All in favor, say aye. All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Vote carries 6-0. We'll have a meeting on November 3rd. Are there future agenda items?
Hearing yes, none? Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Bowen.
An agenda item that I would like to propose involves the General Plan Action Item 135, Housing Inventory. On November 4th of last year, I was greeted at my first meeting by an apartment study which was prepared in advance of several anticipated applications for apartments, and it was argued by the staff at that time that we needed to have that element of the housing inventory.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, I hate to interrupt, but this is the time to add future agenda items. This is not noticed for having a discussion, a policy discussion, and that could potentially veer into a violation of the open meeting laws.
So, Councilmember Bowen, your proposal for an agenda item is?
That we have a discussion of the action item 135 from the Your Voice, Our Future general plan, and this action was the housing inventory. I would like to note that it wasn't completed last November 4th, but for this year's budget cycle, we added approximately $60,000 to complete that inventory. Now that it's been almost a year since we last addressed it, I propose that we discuss it again.
I'm not hearing a second.
I'll second.
Okay, seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. Any other agenda items?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowen?
Last May, during a time of great uncertainty, this council approved the impact fees for the period beginning July 1st, 2022. We were told at that time there was tremendous uncertainty, and that the best idea was to go forward with the fees that were in place as of May 2020. We're also told that it takes approximately 8 to 9 months to redo the impact fees, and I'd like to note that the 1st of November is 8 months from June 30th of 2022. My recommendation is that we review and discuss the possibility of redoing the impact fees, the reason being that the fees that we will start with July 1st of 2022 are already 2 years
old. Councilmember Bowen, I believe we have your agenda item, so let's see if we have a second.
You were pretty confused before, so.
Town Council, Mr. Mayor, if I may give a suggestion here, is that
sure.
I think for purposes of doing future agenda items, a short, concise statement of what the future agenda item that is sought is would help maybe reduce the confusion. And then at the time that the item gets on the agenda would be a time to have the full public discussion about any issues regarding that may result in policy decision-making.
Thank you, Mr. Rothschild. So I'm not hearing a second. Any other agenda items? Hearing none, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Vice Mayor Barrett. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any not in favor, say nay. Motion passes 6-0. Good night, everyone.